April 27, 2020. It's the Wild for Pedro show. Thank you. Off for Pedro show. Happy Monday. Probably last Monday of April, huh? We're still in quitting quarantino mode, so Brother Matt, the Love Grotto, Pleasure Point, sequester mode, getting make sure he's getting his disinfectant going, though. We started the show off with Lonnie's Lament, John Coltrane, and then Brendan Eder Ensemble with Above the Gray. And speaking of Brendan Eder, I'm not man alone here, people, because through the wonder of Skype and those Estonian software engineers, Brendan Eder. Where are you talking to me from, Brendan?
I'm in Echo Park.
Echo Park, okay.
Representing.
And people, Brendan is kind enough to think about your ears, so he supplied his own Shure SM7B mic.
Doing what I can.
That's right. Doing it. And then, speaking of doing what you can, well, we were off air, people, talking about where we met. Where Brendan came up to me after his Missing Man gig and turned me on to his CD. What was the name of that one?
Just self-titled Brendan Eder Ensemble.
Okay, so this was the eponymous ensemble, the D-Butt. And man, we were talking. I ended up playing every fucking one of them tunes because it's a bitchin' record. And you got a brand new one here. But let's go way back, Brendan, before the ensemble. What is your earliest musical recollection?
Well, we were chatting about my uncle earlier. He showed me some cool stuff, like Dub Scientist. But, you know, sort of, earlier influences that inspired me. I did grow up listening to, like, punk music and then classical and jazz.
Well, let me ask you, where were you born?
I'm from the Valley, San Fernando Valley.
Okay, so you're a Val. And the pad you grow up in, is there musical instruments?
Eventually they got a piano because I started playing on them wherever they were. But my parents were nice enough.
Did you have a musical memory that goes before the piano got there?
Well, playing on other pianos, and also both of my uncles, one in the East Coast, one in Echo Park, they had drum sets like in their basement. So I just picked that up right away. I must have been like 12 or 13. I just started, you know, playing beats or something, playing to like Foo Fighters albums or something.
let me ask you about school. Were you in the choir or the marching band or shit like that?
I did. Yeah, I got some good experience in good old LAUSD, Cleveland High School. I did jazz band and that's it. Just some jazz band, after school jazz band. Jazz band. Okay. Yeah, a couple years of that.
Trumpet.
What's that? I did trumpet in middle school.
Doing trumpet in the jazz band, but not the marching band.
Yeah, no, the trumpet was like concert band. It was like, you know, kind of classical something. I don't know. I don't even remember.
Yeah, but sure, you know about the marching band. The trumpets are like the big screamers, man.
Yeah, I don't want to carry anything around and sit in the sun in the valley.
It was hard to march with them because of small mouthpiece. And French horn, I heard, was even harder. The good ones was the bone and the baritone because they had these big-ass mouthpieces.
Yeah, it's a little more resilient in the sun. walking around.
So as you're bouncing, you know, you're walking, right, or marching.
Sounds awful. And you have to wear these really, really hot outfits.
Right.
Thick, like wool. Punishing.
Okay.
I'd never do that.
We were called the Pedro Pirates. We were black and gold. And I never.
You did that?
No. I tried clarinet after 10 weeks, Mr. Luna. Well, that was in junior high at Dotson. I never even made it to high school. I never took another music class because he told me I was wasting my time and his time and the whole class's time. He said I tried hard, though.
Oh, wow.
Thank God.
He wasn't like,
Moon, right?
listen, baby Watt, like, sit down. I'm going to tell you something. You might not believe me.
Well, maybe
you're going to become a very powerhouse bassist. You need to quit clarinet.
Well, I wanted sax, but so did 30 other guys, you know. So.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And it's a B-flat thing. And I guess one way you can learn the fingering and go to sax, I think if you know clarinet, you can do sax. But to do sax to go to clarinet, I heard, is hard. That's what Brother Steve told me in the Stooges. But anyway, I was not really a baby. I was 12, but still a boy. And definitely I was beaten down. But I went to school at the D. Boone Conservatory of Music.
Yeah.
And learned some Creedence and some Blue Oyster Cult, and that's how I got it. And then the movement came, and I was lucky for that. But getting to your story, so your uncle's got drum sets. So that means, like, after school, you go with their pads, or did you have, like, a garage band or a bedroom band or a basement band or something like that with your buddies?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that was just, like, really early on. It was very, you know, very rare. We'd go to their place, and I'd get to play for a little bit. But then eventually my parents, you know, I got a drum set for maybe my 13th or 14th birthday. So, and then I was already in little bands, had this little band called Sonic Stranger. Kind of sounded like Weezer or Ozma. And I was playing drums and that. And, like, punk band, all sorts of stuff.
When they get you a drum set, do they say, we'll get you this set, but you got to take lessons?
I don't know. No, I think they just got me a cheap set. Maybe the second set I had to really earn or pay for.
Well,
I did a little bit, but not much.
Oh, okay. Because, like, the way me and Debo, I mean, some guy showed us where I meant as low pass, but we also learned off records. Did you do that thing? Where you played? Yeah.
That's it, yeah. That's like 90% or something.
In fact, George Hurley, it was my generation and, what's that, Billy Cobham record.
Oh, man.
Spectrum.
Oh, yeah.
Records. He taught himself fucking drums, listening, getting some headphones, bought a little drum set, and fucking beat the shit into himself.
Insane.
Yeah, incredible. But, you know, I love to hear your story because hardly anybody starts on the drums.
Yeah. Is that true? I don't know. I didn't know that.
I had somebody on the show a couple weeks ago, and we were saying it should be a requirement for graduating high school is you got to take some drums.
Hell yeah. Yeah, it's good for your brain, you know. Any instrument.
Well, a lot of music's rhythm, right?
Yeah,
so,
totally.
You know, there's no denial. It's pure rhythm.
Yeah, you got to tap, you know, get into that reptilian brain and kind of refresh that, tune that in, you know, before you leave high school. That'd be a good idea.
Yeah, because any other instrument, I think, you'll have a leg up on.
Yeah.
Because you'll have rhythm. And there's something about
totally.
The one mistake Minutemen did with George Hurley was keep him in the back. That motherfucker should have been at the front of the stage like the way I run my trios nowadays.
Yeah, I like the way you. I like your
See, I
your
the drummer way up
setup.
Front, that's what we should have done with Georgie.
Okay. It's sort of like an iron triangle or something.
Well, it's you know, I don't know. It really bugs me about the way the drums are treated in this kind of music. You know, Chico Hamilton couldn't even get songwriting credits. But by the way, George Hurley was way into Chico Hamilton.
Oh yeah, doesn't
surprise. You can't write music on drums. Yeah, right.
Yeah. Nonsense.
Or bass guitar, same thing, you know, unless it's reggae, I guess. So, but let's get back to you and your story. So you had these little bands that sounded like Weezer and shit. let me ask you, what was the first record you bought yourself?
Oh, man. Man, dude, I don't remember. I was, you know, getting CDs or tapes back then. Yeah. I probably had really bad taste. So I know I liked some good stuff, too, but... I can't give you anything specific. I can't think of the first CD or tape I bought. I can remember like really wanting to get like Smashing Pumpkins or, yeah.
And what was the first gig you went to?
I think my uncle took me to a Foo Fighters concert. That was probably the first rock show I saw. Maybe
you know,
Raffy.
So just to give listeners a kind of a reference about what time we're talking about. So
oh, yeah, it's
we're
like
talking
the
about
90s.
Like kind of 90s, right?
Yeah, I'm 32.
Okay. I usually never ask the age.
You didn't. I just blared it out.
You never ask. But, you know, you can give people kind of a sense, right, if you talk about that kind of stuff. You know, I'm going to play here something from the new record, Purple.
There was a man who worked as a caretaker at the same place I once did. We'd sign in at the same office in the morning before making our way to the respective patches at which we worked. I'll call him Charles. I got a phone call from my buddy one day, and he says, "Have you heard about Charles? Turn on the telly. He's been all over the news." It turned out no one really knew who Charles was, as he had been living under 7 different aliases, claiming benefits through multiple addresses, and even working multiple caretaker jobs. He would sign in at one office before skipping to another. No one was ever the wiser. Charles had yet another identity, that of a people-trafficking voodoo wizard. Charles was part of a ring of people traffickers, along with 3 other men based in Nigeria, who used voodoo as a fear tactic. The group singled out 2 vulnerable teenage girls from an impoverished area, where the belief in the effects of witchcraft and voodoo were very strong, and manipulated them away from what were already bleak family circumstances into their nasty hands. The eldest of the girls was subjected to a ritual that involved having all of her body hair cut off. Then she was slashed with razor blades, and her blood collected and poured into a coffin. She was then tied up and placed into a second coffin, still bleeding. The girls were also made to eat raw, just-slaughtered chicken hearts as part of rituals to bind them to one of the men who was posing as some sort of juju priest. Both were of the belief that the priest could enter their souls and their thoughts and was able to kill them in their sleep. They ended up being shipped to London to Charles the Wizard, who kept them prisoner in one of his flats. He starved, bound, tortured, and raped both girls, as well as repeatedly threatening their lives. His next plan for them was to have them sold into brothels in either Germany or Greece. Thankfully, the police caught up with him before that could happen. In the end, the judge gave Charles 2 decades behind bars. They never did manage to conclusively prove who he really was or where he really came from.
Thank you. fallen ditch. When I get lonesome, the wind begin to moan. When I trip fallen ditch, somebody wanna throw the dirt right down. When I feel like dying, the sun come out, stole my fear and gone. Who's afraid of the spirit with the blues for bones? Who's afraid of the falling ditch? Falling ditch ain't gonna get my bones. How's that for the spirit? How's that for the things? Ain't my fault. The thing's gone wrong. When I'm smiling, my face wrinkles up real warm. When I'm frowning, things just turn to stone. Fallen ditch ain't gonna get my bones. When I get lonesome, the wind begin to moan. Fallen ditch ain't gonna get my bones.
So we heard Purple. Yep.
What's up?
Ensemble. Then Bilge Pump out of Leeds with If She Sees My Little Face. Swenson Klein out of Canada with Encounter. John Aplis and Leval J. Calcutt. Have you heard about Charles? Mike Shiflett. Gunpowder for Raging. No. It ain't for Raging. It's for Raglani. Somebody's name. I'm sorry about that. Nobody's Raging. Parents Whitfield and the Savages with Eddie Please. Edie Please. Got fucking everything up here. In the Calm of Your Eyes from the Psyche. This is guys right out of high school in the early 70s in Chicago. They play one gig. They press up 50 records. That's the whole trip. Good old days, right? The Cap Beefheart after that with Fallen Ditch. And finally, Brendan at her ensemble with No Words.
Ooh.
Yeah. You know, I've been watching The Prisoner again, Patrick McGoohan, and he goes to the shop to listen to some records, and above the listening, remember, record stores, you'd listen to music?
Oh, yeah.
Right, and it says, the sign says, music begins where words end. So, did any of these bands... the Weezer things. Did you do gigs?
Yeah, yeah. You know, like that high school band I mentioned earlier that is taking up some of the airwaves right now. We played like the Whiskey and the Roxy, like pay to play kind of stuff. But we were good.
What was the name
played
of the band?
Punk Venue in the Valley. Sonic Stranger. Can't find it anywhere.
Sonic Stranger, of course.
Yeah.
And tell me about the first gig. Was the first gig a pay to play at the Whiskey?
No, you know that venue Cobalt Cafe? Did you ever play there?
No, I never did, but I know about it.
Yeah.
Knew about it.
I mean, that was sort of one of the places to go in the Valley, so we played there. And
there was a place in the old days, probably before you were born. It was called the Blah Blah Cafe, and that changed its name to the Plant. And across the street, I think, was a place called the Queen Mary. And I saw the actor who played George Jefferson.
Whoa.
Yeah. I can't remember his...
What were you doing in Canoga Park?
I was... I was at this gig, the Blah Blah Cafe. You'll see there's a couple songs from a Minuteman gig on the Politics of Time. But let me hear about your first gig. Was it scary?
I can't remember. I mean, I smoked more pot, like, when I was a kid, you know, than I do now, so, which I don't really smoke pot now. I don't remember most of my high school experience. Like, I don't remember the anxieties of a first show, but I'm sure they're there, just, you know, not too bad.
Now, you guys, did you have original material, or were you doing covers?
Yeah, it was almost all original material.
Oh, wow. Were you part of the songwriting process?
Hardly. Towards the end, you know, I started getting interested in making my own stuff.
But that's one of the disappointments, again, about how drummers are treated.
Yeah, well, not being able to play guitar, I still can't play guitar to this day. That does, you know, if I just spent a couple hours learning guitar for a couple weeks, you know, I could start writing songs for folks that, you know, just know bar chords, but I can't. You know,
Brendan,
it's hard to translate my ideas.
Brendan, we got enough guitar players. You don't have to learn. You're doing fine.
I'm doing fine. I know. I agree.
Fuck it. We got enough guitar players. Go to one of them shithard centers and you go.
No offense to guitar players, but I do want to make people forget the guitar even exists. At least occasionally.
look, this is part of the way in my philosophy of the politics of bass. I look good making those guys look good.
True.
So, I'll bring it. It's okay. It's okay. You can't remember these things. Okay, after high school, do you go to college for music?
Yeah. I applied. I had these really weird compositions, like electronic music stuff. And I used that to apply to, you know, some Cal State schools and Cal Arts. But most of those places, you know, didn't let me in. but this place, College of Santa Fe, did. Now it's called, it became called Santa Fe University Art and Design. I went there and I basically got to do whatever I wanted for 4 years, and it was really great. One band that came out of that you'd love, I got to send you that. It was a math rock band, but really funky.
You're talking New Mexico?
Yeah.
Okay. And so you get in there on, like, synthesizers?
Like when you apply and you show them your music and your portfolio, a lot of the stuff I had was home recordings and weird electronic music.
That's what I mean. When I hear electronic, I'm thinking synthesizers?
Not a lot of analog synths. It's all like in like an old Macintosh.
Okay.
Some German program. I don't even know.
Look. I'm working on the mind reading, but you're going to still have to use some words because I got to yank that info out of your head. I don't really know it, so I wasn't there. So when I hear electronic, I think synthesizers, keyboards.
Yeah,
Now, you made a band, you're saying, outside of school there in New Mexico, Santa Fe?
I sort of joined a band with a couple friends, or I made friends there with these guys. We sort of formed this band called Emergency Room, and it was pretty popular at least in the college and the town. We killed it, man. It was just heavy math rock with really great kind of funky shit going on. You would dig it, I think. After they graduated before me, and we weren't able to keep it alive.
Now, in this band, were you the drummer man, or were you...
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you weren't using your electronic stuff. Did you? Because nowadays, drummers put their stuff, like Hodge in the MSSV project I'm part of, he runs his stuff live through boxes, you know, like...
Yeah, I don't do any of that yet. No.
It's like me, I don't use any... maybe a little compression.
I see you at NAMM. I was trying to get to you at your stand at NAMM.
That was difficult for me. There was only like one or the two boxes that made it sound like a bass. Everything else didn't sound like a bass, you know?
Yeah.
Like kind of a rhythm guitar. Or
my buddy and I were like still thinking we definitely got sick at NAMM this year. And it's definitely not true, but we were thinking we got COVID, but we probably just got really drunk.
I got it in December, the first couple of weeks. Yeah, yeah.
Did you get sick after NAMM?
No, before. Okay. The first week. But once you get sick, right, you're kind of immune for a while. So this was the beginning of December because, you know, I did the whole tour, September to November. I wouldn't shake hands.
And wow, that's
I had no idea about COVID-19. I was just sick of getting sick on tour.
So totally,
I was just like,
yeah.
You know what? I'm only going to give fucking elbow and maybe some knuckle, but that's it. And I didn't get sick, not once. Then I come home and I do a gig, K-Town, somebody shook my hand. No, but there's something to that, you know? There's something to it. And, you know, a lot of it's this coincidence, but, you know, if you call a tour more than a month, I've done 67, 68 of them. So I was just tired of getting sick. And sure enough, it kept me from getting sick. And I did all the driving, too, so I had a lot of stress.
Wow.
But still, it's the contact, not spreading the bugs.
Yeah, totally.
Okay, back to Emergency Room?
Yeah, that was a great band.
Did you guys record?
Yeah, we have one album. I have some I would love to send you a CD of that or a download or something. It's great. But no one's heard it outside of Santa Fe, but it's a great band.
Wow. And, yeah, they graduated first, so you got left behind.
Mm-hmm. So Michael Harris was one of the guys there. You might have met him. He works at Vox Recording Studios. Beautiful recording studio in Hollywood area.
Yeah.
He was one of the guitarists.
Okay. After college, what's music like for you?
Tough. After college, I moved back to my parents' house in the Valley, and I was pretty isolated for a while. Wasn't, working with other people outside of film. And I did do some good work, as a film composer. And I'm still pushing with that career moving forward.
How did you get into it?
But it took a while. Then I finally moved to Echo Park, which is where I've been wanting to live for a really long time.
Brendan, I'm curious. How did you get into the film thing? How did that happen?
I've always been writing like instrumental music and just always wanted to do film music. And, so that's just been a pursuit for a long time.
Yeah. But wanting it and having it happen are two different things.
One good story is, when I went to college, I found one filmmaker I really liked that was really brilliant. And his name's Ari Aster. Who's, gone on to do some really incredible features recently. But I did a ton of his short films, including his AFI, the American Film Institute thesis. So that was something I did pretty soon after college.
But the connect was kind of just circumstance, right? You met the guy.
Yeah, yeah. It's really hard to meet new, people. It's about who you know, really.
Right, not who you blow.
I also, I'm a recording engineer too, and I was really interested in pursuing that alongside with my music career. And then I interned so you'd mentioned Thriller before that was recorded at Westlake Studios. I interned there. It sucked.
Look, we're
Cherokee Studio.
I have to save this for hour two, Brendan, because we're at the end of hour one.
Oh, good.
April 27, 2020, edition Watt Peters Show, special guest, Brendan Etter. Hold tight for hour two. April 27, 2020, it's the second hour of the Watt from Pedro Show. Out for Pedro show. Started the second hour off with Brendan Etter Ensemble doing Send Your Heart Out. Bella from Barcelona after that with Latin Entranga. Entranga. Fuck, terrible one. Timothy Urie with Ritual Number 5. Luke Winslow King with Louisiana Blues. Señor al Dios y David el Diablo Dios with the Desert. Crushed by Pimps on Christian Lie, live record there. And finally, Soft Shine Hot.
Ooh, yeah.
Ensemble. So tell me about the, this kind of instrumental music, it first comes out of being like for soundtracks, for to go along with the visual images.
No, it's just been, it's sort of its own thing, for sure. It's not, it doesn't really have anything to do with the film music. It's my passion project.
No, but I mean, yeah. You first started getting into, like, making music for movies, right? I mean, you wouldn't call this kind of Weezer stuff, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, that was just, the Weezer kind of type of stuff was just a band, you know, I played drums in. But around that time, you know, I started getting interested in being a composer. So this is just an extension of that, you know, being a drummer and being a composer.
And then also, people didn't hear this because we were off air, engineer.
Yeah, I love recording. I love the process. I love mixing. Right. Anyone out there, hit me up. If you want to mix your record, I'm good at it.
Okay.
I'll give you a COVID discount.
Okay. And then, but you also like composing, and you also like
love
performing,
it.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, so all that stuff. So, okay, then let's talk about this new record. How did it come about? What was the first germ in your brain?
Good question. I'm not sure the answer to that. The first germ, you know, because this album's kind of taken like 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, but and I think that's when you gave me your last one. No,
yeah.
Actually, it was 3 years ago, I think.
I was, yeah, it was probably like 3 years ago.
Yeah. But, you know, everything has a beginning somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, Soft Shine Hop, the last track you played, that and the song Purple I recorded like 4 years ago or something now, and then the rest of the album was recorded in just 2 days, about 2 years ago or less.
Where?
All of it was recorded at the Company Studios in Burbank.
Okay.
Great small studio, affordable. B. Husey, the co-owner and engineer there, is excellent.
So, look,
yeah.
There's a lot of parts in these fucking tunes.
Yeah, too many parts.
Except for just two tunes. No, it's not too much. I just point that out because if you record this motherfucker in 2 days, there must have been some prac involved before.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, well, you know, the pre-production, composing every freaking note and making sure that the players can read them and the ideas translate. We had a couple, maybe two rehearsals for the album. But yeah, everyone's just so good at playing that plays on their record.
So really, it was more about you just handing out the sheet music.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, just making sure there's like bagels and everyone's happy.
Well, let's get to this point though. Everyone, how did you choose these cats? You put an ad in the recycler or what?
Yeah, right. Well,
you
when
know,
I started
days
the group,
you used to do that.
I hit up like university, like USC mainly. It's basically been the whole jazz and classical community. Like everyone knows each other within each community in LA, I think. And so it just sort of naturally has evolved. And I just have a big group of contacts for all these woodwind players and bassists Yeah, so a lot of these guys and girls have been playing with the group on and off for a long time, and they've gone to USC, a lot of USC graduates.
Okay, I want to play third, seeing and clearly.
Thank you. Maybe your stuff's worth showing, but no one put up a better fight. It's been a hell of a ride. You can bet, but this can't be as good as it gets. Hell, if you ask me, I'd have to guess. We haven't even gotten to the good part yet. Where do you think you're going? Man, the show's about to begin. Faded aura glowing, strange light through a different lens. It's been a hell of a ride. Yet. We haven't even gotten to the good part yet. If running partners go, man, you're the king. With some great notion always swimming upstream.
Tomorrow's leaders? Answer: high school sports. Shut the fuck up in the control room. Leaders that I'll believe in will all be wearing black t-shirts that say, fuck it. The only future leaders that I'll believe in will all be wearing black t-shirts that say, fuck it. Or maybe they'll read, suck it. Or perhaps simply bucket. Yeah, as soon as any of those three scenarios play out, I reckon I'll know where to chuck it. As soon as any of those three scenarios play out, I reckon I'll know where to chuck it. Just a bullshit slogan designed to get you to wash your car like a churlish chiclets. A churlish chiclets chewing chode. A clean car doesn't really drive any better. No, it doesn't. And that's just some bullshit slogan designed to get you to wash your car like a churlish chiclets. Chiclets, churlish chiclets, chiclets chewing chode. Chode, that is. Like a beat up aluminum ladder on the side of the road. And if brandy, is really such a fine girl, doesn't someone buy her a watch? Yeah, Brandy is really such a fine girl. Why doesn't someone buy her a watch? Or a belt with a buckle that says, I know what time it is. That's a need of an extra notch. Or a 1972 rug-burned crotch. Back in 1972, there were such things as rug-burned crotches, folks. The only real hazard you had. You didn't have to worry about AIDS or fucking plagues or fucking stigma. Just a rug burn crotch. All I know is Charlie B better be out somewhere gunning down a plethora of ne'er-do-wells like a good, 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 good vigilante. All I know is is Charlie B. Better be out somewhere gunning down a plethora of ne'er-do-wells like good, 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 good. Vigilante. As for me, I'm stuck in a cloud of annoying fruit vape smoke. And my name is Gigante. Oh, I'm stuck in a cloud of annoying fruit vape smoke. And my name is Gigante. Hey, Gigante! Hey, Gigante! Hey, Gigante! Hey, Gigante! Hey, Gigante! Show me the law that permits you to treat a man like a wild animal! Hey, Gigante! Hey, Gigante! Show me the law that permits you to treat a man like a wild animal! And I'll show you! I'll show you! I'll show you! Inappropriateness can be easily glossed over, provided you possess the right ticket. The night porter will eventually come around and show you where to stick it. Inappropriateness can be easily glossed over, folks, provided you possess the right ticket. The night porter will eventually come around and show you where to stick it. Yeah. Diphtheria train ride. You're the first lieutenant, and your company is a lonesome mule. Tea is poured from the right. That, my friends, is the rule. On a diphtheria train ride, you're the first lieutenant, and your company is the lonesome mule. Tea is poured from the right. That, my friends, is the rule. And you'll know you're a bit part actor when the blood on your face looks more like sriracha than blood. And the famine that's supposed to be parted like the Red Sea has a backdrop that smells like fake mud. Yeah, you'll know you're a bit part actor when the blood on your face looks more like sriracha than blood. And the famine that's supposed to be parted like the Red Sea has a backdrop. Yeah, a backdrop. Smells like all that fake mud. And that smells like all of the mud. Like the sriracha that looks like fake blood. Yeah, you're a bit part fucking actor. Yeah, a bit part fucking. Covered in sriracha.
Pedro show?
Yeah, that was thirds. Seeing clearly, Bendit Netter ensemble. And then we had Dream Phases with Always On My Mind, Bark out of Knoxville with the good part, Om Fu, Old Man Fuck You, I think that's an acronym means, out of Knoxville as well, Future Leaders. And then finally, the Brendan Netter ensemble with Please Explain. So, did you compose on piano?
Yeah. I usually compose on, I have like a Wurlitzer keyboard here in my apartment. That or also melodica. It's just another instrument I have. Some, you know,
melodica,
I do voice
like a
memos.
A melodica is like a little keyboard that you blow into.
Yeah.
When I saw, me and D. Boone saw the Gang of Four, maybe 1980, 1979, and the singer would pull one of those out time to time. Start playing on it. And
they're killer instruments.
Yeah, and I met some friends, maybe, I don't know, early 2000s. Go Team, they were using these things, but I was thinking, man, you must get a fucking head rush keeping the wind up on that motherfucker.
You know, the high note, the upper notes at least, you barely have to blow at all, you know?
Oh, really?
And they're loud, yeah, so it's not too bad.
Is it a thing where you have to breathe in rhythm, or is it just like you keep it bellows? You know how some accordions are like that? You have to, like, play it in the rhythm?
Yeah, this one, the melodica, it's like if you're not pressing any notes, nothing's happening.
Yeah.
So either, yeah, you can hold down the notes, play the rhythm with your wind, or you can just have pressure going and then press down and let go of the notes, and it'll, you know, kind of be the same thing. But yeah, so you're gonna cut in and out, and like any wind instrument, you know.
Yeah, but like a bandoneon, for example, with accordions, bandoneons, you actually have to play them in the rhythm as you're pumping the air in.
Right, right.
Whereas like my organ man and second man Pizzo plays traditional accordion, the pumping can be in any kind of rhythm because it's actually a reservoir, like a bellow, you know.
Right, right.
That's what I was meaning. But I'm curious when you're composing with a melodica. What's it for, like melodies?
Yeah, whatever. Melodies, melodies or harmony. Any tool at my disposal. And,
yeah, yeah.
You know,
because I don't know a lot of cats who compose on melodica.
Yeah, it's just one tool. Like, it's just small. I could put it on my kitchen table and compose there or something.
So it's right there. It's like a harmonica. You can just pick it up when the idea hits you, the muse hits you.
Yeah, and the fact that it has that wind kind of instrument quality, it can kind of tap into my imagination more, I think.
Oh, yeah.
I can't play clarinet or anything like that.
That too, yeah, because it's not just pushing buttons. It's got
breath. So you got that human breath.
Yeah, you got the breath. What, can I ask your opinion on this composition tool? Bass guitar.
I love bass. And I have bass.
I'm talking about as a... Yeah, I love bass too, but I'm talking about as a composition tool because I think this is the future of the bass.
Interesting. How so?
Usually it's the last, for example, in your compositions, do you put the bass on last?
No way. I can't do that. Bass is like, come on. You know, I start with a bass line sometimes, so it's going to be in there.
Ah, see, now you call it a bass line. What about writing a whole piece, you know, where there's verses and choruses and bridges and all that shit, not just the bass line?
Well, you mean like fretting, like playing chords on the bass and all that?
No. I'm saying you come up with parts, just like you would come up with parts
on
a keyboard or on a guitar. Here's the chorus, here's the verse, here's the bridge.
Yeah, totally doable, except I'm not very good at bass, so the keyboard...
I'm trying to get a composer's opinion on this. The reason why I bring it up, okay, yeah, I do bass. But the other reason is because don't you think it leaves a lot of room for your collaborators? When you do something on the keyboard or on the guitar, you're putting in a lot of harmonic information. With a bass guitar, there ain't that much harmonic information.
No, that's a really interesting point, especially for collaboration and writing with people.
Well,
if you come up with ideas on bass and bring that to the table, you're going to probably get a more interesting and more collaborative result than you would if you fleshed out.
You're not even looking at the end of the road. I'm looking at it as a launch pad, a springboard.
Yeah, yeah.
And then a guy like Nels Klein, they love it. But other people I've done this with, man, that's like writing a song on cymbals or kick drum. You know, man, I don't know what to put. Too much freedom, huh?
What's wrong with them?
So I just want an opinion from a composer about this idea of why not compose stuff on bass. I mean, you could do it with your left hand, right, on your keyboard.
Yeah, yeah.
And, shit, we're at the end of the second hour, April 27, 2020 edition of the Watt from Pedro Show. Special guest, Brendan Etter. Hold tight. Hour three. April 27, 2020. It's the third hour of the Watt from Pedro Show. Show. We start the third hour off with Uni, Bendonette Ensemble, Crane and Skip, Maple Falls, Crane now in Idaho, Utapim, Living More, Cocoon, Guided by Voices. I think Bob Pollard's working on his 108th album.
God.
I know. You know, you see, he played here on New Year's. It was a 100-song gig, 5 hours.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, he's
why do they do that?
Because he, you know, like, why does a dog lick his balls? Because he can.
Instincts?
No, because he can. He's got the physical ability.
Yeah.
I guess we could do it if we tried.
Yeah.
Steely Dodger after that. Bob Pollard, right? It's all happening. I mean, well, he started to collaborate now. So, but, like, I know his first 100 records, he didn't collaborate. They're all his. He's incredible. And he says he sings with the English accent because he says he sounds too much like a hick otherwise, which is, I love that guy.
It's working.
Yeah, Bajon Boy featuring Prana Crafter with Strung Out, and finally, Riv. Did I pronounce that right?
Yeah.
Brendan Etter Ensemble. So the classical gig I went to, this was Pierre Boulez was conducting.
Ooh.
It was a Dorothy Chandler, right? They didn't have the French fry exploding place yet.
Yeah, French fry explosion.
The Disney music, yeah.
It's beautiful.
I got to do a piece there with Glenn Branca.
Man, I got a Glenn Branca story for you.
Dorothy Chandler.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these people could play their asses off, right? But you could tell until they, like, gave in to Mr. Boulez. They were doing Bell Bartok Mandarin, the Magical Mandarin?
Uh-huh.
Something like that, Magnificent Mandarin. And, you know, where they flip the things over and start playing the bows on the back of the necks and shit. But when they gave in to him, they let him, you know, grab the rudder.
Mm-hmm.
It really got powerful. Michael Preussner took me, drummer man from Nels Klein Trio way back.
Yeah.
And he walks me up. I guess some people didn't come, you know, in the seats where he walked me right to the fucking front like a bummer.
Dang.
And so I felt this, and I could really tell the chain, the 60 or whatever, 50 individual musicians all of a sudden coming together as this one thing that Pierre Boulez had his heartbeat on, you know, and it was just,
wow.
It was nothing, you know, and I love power trios and, you know, Jimmy and Cream and that.
But totally.
Man, there was something powerful in this.
Yeah, it is.
That overtook me emotionally. It came up the back of my spine and I felt every hair was standing on the end.
Oh, that's great.
Man, it was. It really was. And it was like these guys let him, they were kind of fighting him at first, you know, and then as they let him, no fascist shit or anything.
Is no.
Yeah, you know, somebody's got to be the keel, someone's the rudder, you know, that kind of deal.
Yeah.
And it was really amazing, which I don't really see a lot in rock and roll groups as much. But, man, I could see it there. And the coming together to build a bigger thing than by yourself.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, yeah it's very life-affirming or something like that.
Yeah, so I'm very interested in the music you're kind of doing. And yeah, a lot of the stuff we hear nowadays, it is background for movies and stuff like that. But who knows, man? It might be gig material if we ever have gigs again.
Yeah, we will.
Look, you're talking about mixing. I want to play To Mix With Time. Thank you.
Stuck inside a cage, you can't see past yourself. You can't see past yourself. You never hear from you. You never hear from me. And all that we can see is all we think we'll ever be.
wake up this morning and I crawl out of bed. Tough night, I suspect, from the pain in my head. It's another day and it's starting to rain. Another lap in the line to gain. I flip on the TV and they're talking about life. What is this gift? Who gives the right? It's like a lottery win on the first day of your life. It's not like we asked to be here in this fight. Childhood's good, hanging with friends, going to the beach, girlfriends, cars, and no stress. Then you grow up, you go to school, you try to fit in and be cool. You get a job to pay the bills. You know the grind, you know the drill. Spring is here and school's out. The sun is shining and it's time to get out. Everyone's asking, what are you going to do with your life? I got to find a job. I got to make it right. With student loans and bills to pay, I need that job that'll pave the way. Simple things like the sun and the stars, they're the constants and yet so far. Not unlike a day in your life. You gotta take it, make it your fight. It's all in front of you, so just take a chance. You might be surprised. You might find romance. Relationships, love, kids, and wife. These are the things that define your life. When will you see? When will you see?
Walk for Pedro show last music for this edition to mix with time. Brendan Etter ensemble.
Right on.
Mad Wasif after that, Let It Ring. Young Creatures, Open Fields, Zigzags. This is stuff from Nomad Eel, great label here at Pedro. Blazer, Chinese Herbal Medicine. After that with Cages. Fuck. San Ardo, Your Time Will Come. And finally, Brendan Etter ensemble, The Spirit of. So what's next, Ben?
What's next for me or what?
Yeah. You should be.
I did a concept album around the same time I recorded this album. It's been done for 2 years, and I'm trying to figure out how to release it. And it's like super accessible, minimalist, elegant jazz.
You're telling me you did a performance, a whole gig?
I did an album. I recorded another album.
Oh, it was in the studio. It wasn't a gig. Okay.
No.
Because you said concert. And
concept album. Concept.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, so it's like one big song. Okay, okay.
It's like got a whole story.
Tell me about it.
It's basically about a dentist in the 70s writing minimalist jazz in obscurity in Cape Cod. And writing it after his wife died. He's a retired dentist, and then he works with some jazz musicians in Boston, records them on top of his home recordings, basically. And so the whole concept is that story with the album art and everything and the recording. It sounds great. It's a great, great sounding record. So that's next.
You're speaking, it's got a happy ending.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, Yeah, it's got a happy ending.
You know, in the old days, right, with the operas, there was tragedies and comedies. Comedies didn't mean you laughing. It mean you just had a happy ending.
Really?
Yeah, because...
People love drama.
Actually, before operas, going back to Greece, drama was used as a tool to help society keep it together, to teach lessons and shit.
Yeah.
So you got this... You can see it on the Three Stooges credits and stuff. The happy face, they're masks, right? The happy
mask. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there's the tragedy and the comedy. Because sometimes you need sad endings, right?
Yeah, yeah. Or sad beginnings, happy ending. I don't know.
Yeah. You need drama. You need something to drive this thing. And interesting, though, the music is a balm for this man's tragedy.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he has to get out of himself to go with other musicians to, like, collaborate.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. Yeah, it sort of chronicles his the tail end of his life, living alone in this, you know, little cottage and kind of enjoying himself in his new situation while still grieving the loss of his wife and working through, you know, this next chapter, this kind of final chapter in his life, I guess.
Now, did this recording share people from the stuff we've been listening to today?
Yeah, it shares one player, Sarah Robinson. She plays alto flute on this next album I got coming out. She's a killer flute player in L.A. But yeah, and that's got some killer musicians on it, the upcoming album. And that one's recorded at Vox Studios, which I mentioned earlier, but that Electro Vox Studios, killer studio, too. I entered at Cherokee Studios, though. That was crazy.
Oh, I know about that place. That,
yeah?
That part of my Ball Hogger tugboat. Yeah, it was two brothers, right? But in fact, they lived in a boat in Pedro here.
That's right. That's right.
Fairfax and Melrose.
Yeah, yeah. Legendary. I was like the last intern there. They sold it, you know, and now it's like the Cherokee Lofts.
It's a loft?
Yeah, it's like lofts or something. Apartments.
Brendan, people younger than you want to ask you about advice with this music racket shit, what would you tell
them? Wow, I don't know. Some people I discourage. I'm just like, don't even try. But, okay. You know, you got to be patient. You got to be really, really fucking passionate.
That's good.
And resilient.
That's good.
And you have to just listen to your instincts.
Where can people find you on the internet?
I'm on all the streaming platforms, and I'm on Instagram. Instagram's good.
Those are telephone poles to hang up flyers. I'm talking about a Brendan Etter website?
Well, that I have one. It's called ettermusic.com.
Okay, because that's like your own fanzine. You got no filtering, no middleman there.
Well, that's the problem. It's hard to like put posts on there and keep it updated. It's pretty boring and dated.
But you know what? Nobody can ever fuck with it. That's what's cool about it. That's why
no one fucks with my website.
That's why I what's the whole idea? It's the same ethic of the fanzine. I print, so I'm in charge of the content.
It's
been a big honor to have you on the show. When this baby comes out with the dentist, come back on and let's play it and talk about it.
Yeah, man, I so appreciate you you listening and having me on. I'm a big fan, and I think you're a legend for all of us, for all musicians.
Too kind, man. People, it's been the April 27, 2020 edition of Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.